The Sound.
The Sound of Suffolk. And all the music you love. BBC Radio Suffolk.
I don't know if he's pulled up his sofa, but my guest with us today is Suffolk man Jason Oliver. Recently written, self-published a book telling of his battle with three brain tumours. Jason grew up in Suffolk. He's worked in IT for much of his career. I think his title is he is a cloud architect, which sounds very good, doesn't it? He also has a black belt in karate, so it's probably as well he's not here in the studio.
On the sofa.
BBC Radio Suffolk.
Afternoon, Jason.
Good afternoon, Leslie. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Yeah, all right, thanks.
Okay, so I know there's lots of press. I mean, did you publish your book during lockdown or before it?
During, yeah.
Yeah, so I was going to say you got quite a lot of publicity out of it, but probably was it a good or a bad time to bring your book out?
I think it's probably a good time because I think people are reaching out for a good news story.
And it really is. And you wrote this because you wanted it to be a sort of inspiring story, didn't you?
Absolutely. I just wanted to reach out and tell people there is life after a brain tumour. So, yeah. And,
yeah, because we do hear, I mean, I have a cousin who died of a brain tumour. And so it's nice to hear the positive side of these stories as opposed to the negative, because they're more common than we think, aren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, before I had one, you know, it's one of those things I've never heard of anybody. And then you have one and all of a sudden everyone comes out of the woodwork and yeah, you get to hear a lot more.
So and this was a while ago, wasn't it? You've been clear so far, haven't you, for quite a few years now?
Yeah, it started off in 2004 and touch wood, have been clear for the last 7 years.
Which is truly inspiration. It really is for anyone who's battling this. People can buy the book, can't they? It's on Amazon. So fight back from a brain tumour.
Yeah, it's not the word.
Yeah, not a huge book, but it's gripping. I read it earlier on, and just couldn't put it down. So just whet our appetites and just tell us a little bit. I mean, it came out of the blue. You'd got two young children, didn't you?
Yeah, so it's a short story about one family's battle against the odds to fight this disease. So, I mean, it started off over Christmas 2013. I suffered headaches, which is unexpected for me. I don't usually suffer from headaches. So I went to the GP. They kind of, long story short, they kind of put me off on blood tests in the new year. Didn't quite get to that point because in 2nd of January 2004, I woke up with the most painful headache you could ever imagine, combined with feeling of dizziness, nausea, ice cold sweats. Really, really something was wrong. And I was rushed to A&E. So my dad's at rushed me up to A&E in Ipswich. They redirected us after a quick triage up to Edinburgh.
I gather they blue lighted you, and you at the time you quite enjoyed the journey.
Yeah, yeah, it was incredible banter the crew there, which kept spirits high. So I appreciate them for that. No, it was a good experience. But Addenbrooke's definitely the centre of excellence for this. So we're so fortunate in this region to have top hospitals. I had involvement from Ipswich, Addenbrooke's, West Suffolk. We're surrounded by excellent professionals.
Yeah. I mean, you ended up having another, it was CAT scan, I think, wasn't it? And then MRI at Addenbrooke's?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, so Addenbrooke's diagnosed it as a brain tumour, which is a daunting thing for myself and the family. It turned out to be the size of larger than a typical TV remote sitting in my skull, so no idea how that sort of sat there were. Me knowing about it.
It's the one thing that none of us ever expect to have to deal with, isn't it? So your dad took you in, and I think by the time they told you what it was, that I think you'd both come to the conclusion that that was going to be the suggestion, hadn't you, really?
Yeah, it sort of didn't really have much of a sort of analysis on it, but they just told us there was a mass in my head. So me and my dad had this kind of typical blokey emotional standoff where we're both kind of sort of come to the conclusion that this is what it was, and it's just men being men, I think. I just don't kind of share this intimate stuff. each other's heads.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And I think I think your wife came over in the end to Addenbrookes, and you had to wait a few days, didn't you, for some of the inflammation to go down before they would operate?
Yes, they put me on some medication to bring down the swelling and to prepare for the operation. So, I was kind of away from my kids for the 2 days there over the weekend.
And that's... It's such a scary thought that to know that you're going to go and have that operation. But, I mean, you came around from that and you were home from that quite quickly, weren't you?
Yeah, I was back at home within a couple of days, which is amazing. And it's an accolade to the professionals there.
Yeah. But as you say, this huge tumour, I assume it wasn't a carcinogenic, so it wasn't one that was going to spread. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's benign, but... there was a chance, it's a grade 2, so there is a chance of regrowth.
Right.
Which is a bit scary. But we kind of played that down at the time, thinking, yeah, that's the stats, that would never happen to us.
So you were just concentrating, but it did come back, didn't it?
It did, yeah. We had, so with a brain tumour, they typically scan you at frequent points. And quite soon afterwards, I think in May 2004, they'd scanned me and identified another growth. And rather than opting for further surgery, we kind of agreed on radiotherapy.
Yeah.
So it was a 6-week-long course, which is an intensive thing. That meant I had to travel from Stowmarket to Cambridge every day at the same time for 6 weeks. And at the time, I was off the road, so I was depending on my wife and parents for lifts there, backwards and forwards.
Yeah, because you lost your licence, didn't you, obviously, to start off with?
Unfortunately, any kind of brain operation or any kind of treatment like radiotherapy sets you back at least a year, maybe 18 months, which I think was the most kind of a hurtful thing for me personally.
And that, I can understand that as well, because you lose your own independence, don't you, and start having to rely on other people.
Yeah, totally.
You did the radiotherapy, and it was quite a while before you ended up having your second operation. So did you manage to go back to work and do all those sorts of things in between 2004 and the second operation in 2009?
Yes, I mean, after the first operation, I was back at work within 3 months. During the radiotherapy, I've been so grateful for supportive employees all throughout, really.
Yeah.
I had really good support. Even during the radiotherapy and onwards, I was working from home, that kind of thing. So,
and I know one of your employers, they gave you vouchers so you could all go on holiday, didn't they?
Yeah, that was actually the employer at the time of the radiotherapy, and they all kind of clubbed in together and gave us a considerable amount of money for a sort of family holiday. And that was just overwhelming.
That makes all the difference, doesn't it, to have support like that?
Absolutely. I mean, by contrast, there was one employee that didn't provide that, and we had serious major financial struggles as going through their health concerns.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, and I think that was when you came to do the second operation. It's something I've spoken about to other people before, is that, you know, they become seriously with things like cancer and so on, and you can't earn a living. And you become really financially hard hit. So not only are you poorly, but you're struggling financially. And I think you went through a phase like that, didn't you, as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was our kind of lowest point, I think, really, because, like you say, we were tackling the health concerns and tackling the financial concerns at the same time, and there was no let up from that. I mean, the bank would give us a mortgage holiday, for example, but they'd charge us £150 admin fee to do that, which we just didn't have at the time because we were living hand to mouth.
It must have been so difficult. And was that around the time? Tell me about the sort of the warnings for the second operation in June 2009, this is.
Yeah, so really there were no warning signs for me personally. I didn't feel any difference. But again, luckily through this kind of frequent pattern of scanning, they picked up, they had another growth there. So they brought me in for the operation, or consultancy for the operation. Fortunately, this one was a very minor one. So the incision was a lot smaller than the last one. So they did give us the option to delay this one, and they'll just keep track of it. So we did actually put that one off for a bit.
Yeah. And it must be so frustrating just to think you're getting better and then have to face that, face the operation and the uphill battle again. And then the final operation in May 2011, you also had, you started to have seizures as well, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and that was kind of unsettling for me and the family, more so the family, I think, for seeing anyone that's in a seizure is a very daunting, scary thing, especially for my young kids.
Yeah. Who were getting older, of course, by this stage as well, and much more aware, I should think.
Yeah.
So and how did that operation go? Because that was that a more major event?
Yeah, totally. So this one was, so it's recognised at the time that I had two further growths in my head they needed to take out. And it wasn't until they actually got me in the surgery at the theatre that they, I was speaking to the consultant, and it would be, the doctor who was doing the operation.
The surgeon, yeah?
Yeah, thanks. And he advised me I actually had four growths in there. So there was a bit of kind of confusion over whether there's two or four. And you don't want to kind of upset the guy that's about to kind of be doing that operation for you.
I know in the book
you want to.
You wrote about just you wanted to try and make sure that he knew that you'd got the right notes, didn't you, and before you went in. And don't we all think that as well? But they did amazing work, didn't they? But this left you with one or two issues. I think you lost the use to a certain extent of your left hand. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So the fine motor control in my left hand is a bit limited now. I mean, when I first came around after the third operation, I just basically couldn't even clench a fist on my left hand, which is really scary because, I do karate, so that's quite a natural thing for me to do, to clench a fist. But I couldn't pick up anything, and I think it took me about 2 weeks to kind of pick up a glass in my left hand.
And what about, did it affect your speech at all?
I think after the first operation, it affected my speech most because they have to cut through the jaw muscle. So it's a question of building that up and... Yeah,
it's an amazing story for me to be sitting here talking to you about it. And some of the photos in your book, because you show, I mean, it was a huge operation that they did, especially the third time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it basically felt like they were cutting my head open in half.
It's just it's phenomenal what they do. And I know that you say thank you to all the people involved several times through the book as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, they were literally lifesavers. Amazing what they do.
Yeah, it's interesting because you say until the clap for carers, until that time you haven't really felt that people appreciate that those involved in the NHS.
Yeah, I think it's a very kind of undervalued service. I mean, obviously people that use it appreciate it, but I think unless you're in that position, you tend to take it for granted.
Yeah, and until we need them and so on. So do you still think every day? Because, I mean, it's just an amazing story. How did you keep going? I think by the third operation, I'd have just begun to, wonder if I could keep fighting.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, after the second operation, we all felt we were done, I said to my family, I couldn't do this a third time. There's actually no way. And when we had that news about the third operation, yeah, it took a lot of soul searching to find the strength and energy to regroup and go for it again.
I bet you learned something about yourself then. I mean, you must be quite proud of yourself in a way, finding that inner strength.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's just something you need to do. I think throughout this, I mean, I've been speaking to a neighbour who's gone through a similar struggle recently, and I think there is no option. You just have to kind of be positive and sort of fight through it. I mean, that's where the title of the book comes about, Fight Back. Because it's a very kind of sort of strong, positive symbol of me. I had to fight my way through this.
Yeah.
There's no other way.
Have you had a good response to the book?
Yeah. It's sold decent numbers. I think we're up to about 62 copies already. It's only been out a month or so.
So
the word is getting out there.
So if people have a look, it's called Fight Back. Fight Back from a Brain Tumour. You can download it to your Kindle if you want, but you can buy a copy as well. You can go to the usual, to Amazon, I think you're selling it on, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to come back and I'll talk, because I want to talk. I know you've done some work during lockdown. You've been doing some music, haven't you? Synthesizer music.
Yeah.
We mentioned you got a black belt in karate, and you did that after you'd had your operations, which is phenomenal. And you're also a Brian champion with the Brain Tumour Charity, which we must talk about as well. So I'm going to play a bit of music and then we'll come back and talk about those, if that's all right.
Sure, brilliant.
On the sofa. BBC
Radio Suffolk. Guest with us from home today is Jason Oliver, been telling us about his book, Fight Back, Fight Back from a Brain Tumour. Not just one brain tumour, but several as well. Are you on the sofa, Jason? That's what I need to know.
Yeah, nicely relaxed. Thanks for that tune. That was amazing. It's one of
Excellent.
My favourites.
Well done. So I don't have to gently wake you up then.
No.
So tell me a little bit about your job. So you're a cloud architect. I love that as a title.
Yeah, it's just drawing clouds all day.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's building innovative technology for businesses. Using public cloud, which just means that you don't have to host systems yourself, so hosted for you.
I mean, it's the cloud is something we've all learned about in the last few years, isn't it, really? So we all have this visions of our material be sort of floating around somewhere or other. I mean, things have changed hugely, and you must have changed with them, because you've worked in IT for pretty much all your career, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, several decades, unfortunately. Showing my age there.
So you've seen it develop over time?
Yeah, I've gone from being a server hugger, someone who can't let go of the physical boxes themselves, to embracing this new technology, where effectively the infrastructure is being commoditized like a utility. So you just consume it and pay for the bits you use.
Yeah, it's just fascinating, isn't it? The whole world. I mean, you used to work in London, didn't you? But came back for a better life-work balance, is that right?
Yeah, I've worked all over the place. Ipswich, Cambridge and London. Yeah, I do like jumping from one job to the next.
Yeah, you're a Suffolk boy though, aren't you? So you grew up here.
Yeah, born and bred in I, and lived Stone Market all my life.
Yeah. So you never thought of going anywhere else?
No, I mean, I've been lucky. I've travelled a lot of the world, but I just like Suffolk. It's nice. It's got good commute routes to the big sort of hubs, industry hubs.
Yeah.
It's lovely sort of green landscape.
Not a bad place. And with lockdown, we could have done a lot worse than being here, couldn't we?
Yeah, totally. I'm blessed with fields all around me, which we walk now and again. You've got the lovely coastline. It's a beautiful place.
So tell me about your music, getting back into music then during lockdown.
Yeah, so I used to do GCSE music way back when, and as a teenager I had my own kind of keyboards, like synthesizers, to produce digital music. Wasn't any really good, but it was kind of a nice hobby, kept me out of trouble. And coming back to that, through lockdown, I bought a keyboard and started learning the piano again to try and overcome this limitation in my left hand as much as anything. And I'm now starting to get back into the production of digital music. And I'm just amazed at how fast things have moved on. It's gone from needing a physical studio to a laptop. A laptop is a professional quality studio nowadays.
For one who's worked in IT, you should have noticed that. But I guess it's only the area you work, isn't it? I mean, you can do everything in your bedroom, can't you?
Yeah, literally, yeah. It's fantastic.
So you're enjoying that. And does it help? So does it help with your left hand doing the exercise?
Slowly. I've got to be honest, it's really frustrating. I used to touch type as well, you know, when I was a programmer. I used to be really quick on the keyboard, on my laptop. But, yeah, sadly, it's just a question of retraining the brain to use the left hand again, like it was.
Yeah. Tell me about, because you've always done karate, haven't you? And you first did it because you were bullied at school.
Yeah, I had a bit of a sort of challenging high school year, and bullied at school. So after high school, I went straight into to karate to build up self-esteem and confidence. And yeah, like you say, I've pretty much been doing it ever since. I had a few years off while my kids were little. But yeah, it's been a lifetime kind of thing, really.
And it was 2018 when you actually got your black belt. So that's an amazing thing to have done when you think of that decade of operations on your brain and so on. It must have been such an achievement.
Yeah, I really wanted to do that. I mean, there's after the operations, I wanted to challenge myself mentally through doing sort of industry certifications, which I passed and excelled at. Also physically with the black belts. There was a point probably 10 years ago where I was ready for my black belt. I trained hard for it. But through all the health complications, that kind of set me back. So when I turned 40, I was adamant on going for it, no matter what. And I'm just blessed with having a really supportive instructor, Halstead Otley. He's my sensei, my life coach, my friend. He's an amazing man. And he really kind of helped instill some of the strength I needed to overcome these health complications, as well as going for my black belt.
Has it really helped you with everyday life, being able to do that?
It has, yeah. It's given me confidence I wouldn't have had otherwise, I think.
Would that be part of the advice that you would give to other people who are going through tough times like this?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Yeah, it certainly didn't help me at all. It didn't not help.
Yeah, it didn't hurt you at all.
Yeah, it didn't hurt, thank you.
Yeah, tell me about this being working with the Brain Tumour Charity as a Brian champion. Explain that.
Yeah, so it's a recent development. I kind of put myself up for being a Brian champion, and that's working with the Brain Tumour Charity, one of the big UK charities here, on an online app to help sufferers overcome the effects of a brain tumour.
So you're using your IT skills, yeah?
Yeah, so it's using a combination of IT skills and also my health experience as a sufferer, you know, what would work best. And that. So I work with a team of sort of volunteers on this. And it's a really interesting process to help shape the application as we move forward.
How does it work? Do people ask it questions or what does it do?
So, yeah, I mean, it's an app on the mobile phone as well as an online website. You go to, you enter all your kind of medical details, like medication, and it does regular kind of temperature checks, like how you feel in emotionally, physically, mentally. It monitors your kind of appointments, like MRI scans, that kind of thing. Like I say, it monitors your treatments, like these are your prescriptions, when you're taking them, and it alerts you to when you're due to take your next tablet. Because okay. I know for myself, you know, it would take pop that many pills, difficult to keep track of them all.
That's quite handy. So, yeah, I understand that. So it's almost like a diary for your condition, isn't it?
Yeah, and yeah. It provides details on benefits for your particular type of condition. So it's a complete holistic kind of package, really, and it's an amazing thing they've set up, and I'm pleased to be part of it.
Yeah, it's great to be able to use your expertise to do that as well. And having done this book, and you're at work as well, aren't you? Do you feel you're sort of back there now? Are you feeling fighting fit and ready to go forward?
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, really, after every operation, I've always felt after 2 to 3 months, fit enough to get returned back to work. And I think as somebody, you know, we all need a role to fulfill, and I think it's important for me personally to go back into a job to fulfill a role.
Well, I think you're amazing, and your book is phenomenal as well. So that's and you just hope people, anyone who listens to this, if you need some inspirational story, that's the idea of the book, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
It's been amazing talking to you, Jason. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you for sharing the story.
Yeah, no, thank you as well. And I hope lots of people buy the book. So it's Jason Oliver, and his book is Fight Back from a Brain Tumour.
Leslie Dolphin. BBC.
BBC Radio Suffolk.